For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And the rain is really coming down now here in Pittsburgh. The 1-2, a bouncing ball hit on the left side, backhanded slide, Cruz, no play, Cubs tie up the game. Infield RBI single, Mike Tauchman, as Bush scores, 6-6 ball game here in the fifth.
An update after this 1-0 pitch. And it's hit in the air, deep left center. Back goes Bellinger to the center field fence. That ball is gone. Andrew McCutchen, a long home run. And it is now 10-8 Pirates. Swinging a line drive toward right. Sawinski there on the warning track makes the catch. And the ball game is over. Bellinger hit it hard, a solid line drive. Just didn't quite get all of it. And the fly ball hauled in on the track in straightaway right, and the Pirates even up this series with a 10-9 win over the Chicago Cubs.
And he swings at the first pitch down the right field line. It's a fair ball. DeJong, they're waving him in after Brennan misplays it in right. He will score, and it's an RBI triple for Nicky Lopez. Infield in, Benintendi swinging at the first pitch, out to left. Vaughn is tagging at third. He's coming home. Here's the throw. Safe! Vaughn beats the throw in, and the White Sox take a 3-1 lead here in the eighth. It hasn't been the best start of the season, but they're on a roll. And now, it's 4-0 for the first time this season. You know what time it is. Say it with me. Southside, stand up.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
You know what time it is. It's 9:02 on a Sunday morning. That means it's me, and it's you, and it's us. Happy Mother's Day. Happy Sunday morning. What a glorious, glorious Sunday it is. In the city of Chicago, and not just because the White Sox are 6-3 in their last 9 games, 9-6 in their last 15 games. Goodness! Not just because of that. It's also a glorious Sunday because the Cubs are through with Jared Jones and Paul Skenes. Now, they should have won both of those games, one on Friday night. They took that one as Cody Bellinger was remarkable, as he is wont to do every once in a while. And then yesterday, the truly bizarre and crazy Paul Skenes debut game, followed by a rain delay of up to 2 hours with 6 bases loaded walks sandwiched around that rain delay. As the Cubs take a lead only to blow it again. They should have 2 wins in the 2 games started by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then I could sit here and say to you that on Friday, when my partner, Danny Parkins, said, what are the Cubs going to do? And I'm like, you know what? They got a lot of bullpen innings to beat up on those teams. Because this is not like back in the day when it's Wood and Pryor or whatever young 2 fireballers you'd like to put in there being on the same team and going, oh my God, how are they going to beat Gooden and Darling as I age myself. How are they going to do that? How are they going to beat Warren Spahn and Johnny Sane? All right, I didn't see those guys. But you know what I mean. My God. How are they going to take care of Whitey Ford and Allie Reynolds? Okay, I can't. How about Drysdale and Koufax? I mean, anyway, this is not that kind of time. This is a time. Jared Jones went deep, but Paul Skenes didn't get out of the fifth. This is modern baseball, people. Mike Clevinger didn't get out of the fifth last night for the White Sox. I'm like, what, really? This is what we're doing now? But Clevinger had given up a lot of hard-hit balls, and so it goes. And anyway, who am I to bitch about a Mike Clevinger start when the White Sox are 9-6 in their last 15? 6-3 in their last 9. I just hope that those of you White Sox fans who have been paying attention, who have fought through so many different aspects of misery, so many different realms of violation in this young White Sox season, have been there to enjoy some wins. I hope you have. Good morning, everybody. It is Hit and Run. It's me, Matt Spiegel. We'll talk to you up until about noon today. Cubs and Pirates in the finale of their 3-game set. Meanwhile, also the White Sox and the Guardians in the finale of their 4-game set. The White Sox have won 4 in a row as you guys stand up all over the South Side. And we will be joined by the great Tom Hamilton, one of my favorite broadcasters doing play-by-play these days, longtime guy for the Cleveland Guardians. If he wants to call me Max, he is allowed to call me Max. Let the record show. We know each other better than when he called me Max repeatedly. I mean, that was a great time. I don't know if you have any of those around, Sean Sears, but I'm always up to hear Tom Hamilton calling me Max. But, man, I love that dude. And then we did an episode of the PBP together and have exchanged texts, and I feel good about the chances of him calling me Matt. I really do. I feel really good about it. And we'll talk to him later on in the 10 o'clock hour. Because they're a good team, even though they've now been beaten 3 in a row by the White Sox. That can't feel good. So, but they've been beaten, but they've been a very, very good team. And I want to hear about Stephen Vogt, the manager, and how they seem to have not lost a step from when Terry Francona was a manager. So we'll talk to him. In a little while this hour, we will talk to Patrick Wisdom of the Chicago Cubs. Check in Pittsburgh with Patrick Wisdom. Did you guys see the offseason video from Driveline Baseball of Wisdom in like compression shorts and nothing but with like sensory nodules all over his 3/4 naked body? I mean, it's borderline not safe for work.
You should let Coom know. Bring it up to him next time.
Yeah, Coom's a big fan of when I point out the handsomeness. But I'm not really just pointing it out for that. Just like
he looked really like a different guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, so we'll talk to Patrick about that and really about a lot of other things. And along the way, we will take your phone calls, we will text, and we will include your input about Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers in our listening audience. Happy Mother's Day in absentia to my late mother, who I think of very often as our son is named after her. And of course, I think about her very often. Happy Mother's Day to my lovely wife, who is an incredible mother to many, including Ruben and our my bonus daughters, her daughters, just a wonderful presence. And happy Mother's Day to you and yours and to your mothers. And I do along the way would want to, as always, on the Mother's Day edition of Hit and Run, get your input, your texts, and your phone calls along the way about your mothers and their importance to your relationship with baseball. I always think of the call that Barry Rosner and I took years ago on Hit and Run from a guy whose father had gone away and I think had left the family, and it was left to his mother to encourage his love of baseball, and she was the one who threw him ground balls. She was the one who took him out and played catch all the time with him. And I remember that call so distinctly and so lovingly. But as always, I look forward to hearing from you and yours about your mothers and their importance to your relationship with baseball. We will do a team of the moment later on, as we do every week. Who might the team of the moment be? So far this year, it's been the Orioles, the Guardians, the Twins. Who do you think it's going to be? Don't answer, Sean, because you know it's going to be, because you grabbed a highlight. We will look at the leaderboard as we always do every Sunday morning, and we'll look at it through the prism of the locals, some of the storylines involving the locals, and we'll look at the league as it relates to some of those things. You are later on also going to hear a treat, because I have not been able to stop thinking about my friend who passed. A couple of them, actually. It was a very tough week for the Chicago music community, and for me in particular, on a couple of different fronts of folks who passed away. One was Stuart Rosenberg, an absolutely brilliant musician and band leader and radio host. Radio Gumbo was his show on WBEZ years ago. He used to be in a band called the Otters with my brother back in the day at Shuba's. And if anybody knew of Stuart, they knew what a marvel he was. And the other is Steve Albini, the record engineer, who did not like to be called a producer and wore a jumpsuit and played great poker and loved baseball. And later on, we'll end the show with a chunk of Steve Albini talking about baseball from this show 5 years ago. He came in the studio, did an hour with me, which was great. And you'll also hear a song that he played guitar on and produced, and I sang on, and it's got a few other baseball connections. So we'll explain that and play that along with the clip of Albini talking baseball to round out the show. Along the way, your phone calls and your texts, not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Scores Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. All right, here's what's going on. What's going on is this. The Cubs are still in second place, a game and a half back of the Milwaukee Brewers. A plus 17 run differential is nothing super special. They have not been playing super special. Yency Almonte becomes the 13th member of the team to hit the injured list. As a friend of mine texted, did the Cubs hire the Bulls training staff? Now, that's not fair. That is a shot. It's a cross-sport shot. But things happen. Dansby Swanson on the injured list. Yency Almonte on the injured list. But Seiya Suzuki is back. Cody Bellinger is back. And now, today, Kyle Hendricks is back. If you did not know or were not aware, the starter to be determined today for Cubs Pirates has now been determined. It is Kyle Hendricks, who will make one fewer rehab start than expected to help fill in Jameson Taillon. Everything went okay, apparently, yesterday as he threw to check out that back, but they're just going to give him a couple more days. So here comes Hendricks. So what does this mean? It means, I do believe, that Hayden Wesneski will go to the bullpen. It's possible they could remain in a six-man rotation as needed. That's something they talked about to help ensure Shota Imanaga, among others, would have all the rest they need. But more than likely, Wesneski to the bullpen. We have Wesneski from yesterday from inside the clubhouse talking about whether he would have a problem with the bullpen or not. We were able to ask Ben Brown about this specifically 1 week ago today on Hit and Run. And then Ben Brown was in your bullpen and has been utilized in the bullpen. Having Wesneski there too, well, that would give you another option. Here's Hayden from yesterday morning.
I guess the biggest question would be, which are you, starter or reliever? Do you consider yourself part of the rotation, or are you the guy that's going to help solve the bullpen issue moving forward?
Man, I don't know. I have no clue. I'm at this point now where I'm kind of just whatever they need, you know. And we have a lot of starting pitching, and the starting pitching's been really good. But we have a lot of good bullpen guys, bullpen arms. That, I mean, like Adbert's not being himself. He's fine. He's getting into a groove now, but he hasn't been himself, and it's fine. He would tell you that himself. But man, I'm whatever they need, right? We're trying to win games, and winning's a lot more fun than losing, and I want to be a part of that. So whatever really the Cubs need, and if that means I go to the bullpen, that's in the bullpen. If that means I'm starting, it's starting. It kind of is what it is. I know that Kyle's coming off the IL soon, and there's a bunch of guys that a lot of stuff's going on right now. So Yeah, whatever they need, really. I know that's a bad answer, but that's what I got for you.
No, that's a good answer. Because your willingness and Ben Brown's willingness, and Hayden has shown an ability to go back and forth, and maybe now that he has really found himself, in my opinion, as a starter here in the big leagues, he'll be able to transition to the bullpen, because I think he should. I don't know for sure that he will. As I mentioned, could be a six-man. But, boy, I'd love to see Wesneski as a bullpen option right now because they need it. Folks,
yeah, I have a nickname. It's called Casi Loco. It means.
So I was here yesterday. I was here last week, a week ago today, telling you I thought Keegan Thompson was done as a Cub. Done. It was brutal a week ago yesterday as part of that game that I was at, that Saturday game. All of a sudden, coming back into focus. He was bad in the seventh inning of that game at Wrigley after Tyone had been great for six. Then here he is yesterday after the Cubs take a crazy lead at 8-6 after six of the bases loaded walks. And there's Keegan out there giving up a three-run bomb to Yasmani Grandal. I'm not a believer in Keegan Thompson anymore as a big league reliever to be trusted, like, at all. It's just, it's unfortunate, but that's just calling it as I see it. So Wesneski and Brown added to that pen, obviously, especially now that Almonte is down, and Almonte has shown more than anyone the capability of being that setup man like Merriweather was supposed to be. I think Wesneski essential to the bullpen. What you also heard there was the beginnings of, and we'll let you hear it now, Wesneski, what he says they call Hector Neris, who I've told you, I've been wanting to call Hector Neris the shooter, so that's El Tirador for Rod Beck, because it gives me that scary save feeling, and then he goes out there and throws like high breaking pitches, a high splitter instead of the high change, the Beck threw, and still somehow gets through. Here's Wesneski on Hector Neris.
For him as a teammate, let's start with that. That dude is smiling always. He's keeping it light. He has an energy about him that is unmatched by many, right? And I can't give him enough compliments on what a great teammate is. He's a smart pitcher, right? He doesn't throw 100, so it's not his stuff is not the blow away stuff. He's pitched, right? And we call him Heart Attack Hector because you're right. He pitches. He loves a good show. And he's given me some tips on how to attack hitters late in games, especially because, like you said, he goes out there every time we need him, and he does whatever Craig needs him to do, and it's just admirable to watch, because I mean, if someone that's pitched for so long, he can do whatever you need, and it's just incredible to watch him pitch and work. You know, it's just really cool to see somebody that's done it for so long to continue to do it at such a consistent rate, because this game is so hard, and he makes it look hard, but he does it easy.
Heart Attack Hector. Absolutely love it. That's Hayden Wesneski from inside the clubhouse. As I mentioned, Patrick Wisdom in a few minutes and Tom Hamilton later on. All right, a few things. Number one, the White Sox are playing a lot better. Enjoy it. I hope you are White Sox fans. Brian Ramos is a big leaguer. I dig that kid. I like his calm at third base. And the way that he has looked, the level of comfort at third base, we've heard nothing but great things about the makeup, including last week when we talked about it with James Fegan a little bit here. An important swing yesterday as part of the offense. Eloy with an opposite field bomb. I mean, it's not like the White Sox are going to challenge in this division that has three teams that ought to be battling it out for the top of that division the rest of the way. But it ought to be enjoyed. John Brebbia with his save yesterday. Jordan Leisure with some good spots during the week. Garrett Crochet was terrific on Friday
first
night.
First off, Max, he's the face of the franchise.
Well, not anymore, Tom. I don't even know who he's talking about. Jose Ramirez, probably. But he did call me Max like seven times. I'm telling you, we're going to get Mats. We're going to get nothing but Mats. 1 hour from now. But White Sox playing well, and it's nice. It's nice to see it. In terms of the Cubs, how about Paul Skeens yesterday? Oh my goodness, the filth that Paul Skeens brings. He got Seiya Suzuki for that first inning strikeout without throwing a fastball, just sliders. And I think there might have been one of those splinkers in there. The splinker is part splitter, part sinker. He likes to call it a splinker. Let him. I enjoy that. I enjoy a good portmanteau as much as the next guy. And it's just, Skeen's just absolutely filthy. And the Pirates are set up with some great young pitchers again. Reminds me of Tyone and Glasnow coming up through the ranks and Garrett Cole and all those arms. Every once in a while, they'll stockpile some arms and we'll see what they can turn that into. A couple of years of relevance, perhaps. On offense, not so much. Pirates are 23rd in OBP, 27th in OPS. That's why it's absurd that they were able to come back and win that game yesterday. But Jared Jones and Skeens in back-to-back nights, back-to-back games, is about as tough as you can go against in terms of pure stuff in all of MLB. But Skeens did not go deep, and still the Cubs should have won that thing. I don't know how the hell they didn't. Really doesn't even make much sense. It came close to tying it again, in fact, in the ninth inning. But goodness, Skeens was a treat to watch, that's for sure. And my favorite fun fact of yesterday is that the leadoff hitter for the Pirates, I believe he led off. Did he lead off yesterday, Andrew McCutchen?
He did, yep.
He also led off against Steven Strasburg in Strasburg's debut. Years and years ago,
whoa.
Strasburg against the Pirates, and it was McCutchen leading off then. Yesterday, it was McCutchen leading off for the Pirates against Skeens, as that room is tied together by the Andrew McCutchen area rug. Your calls, your texts at 312-644-6767. I'm going to want to hear about your moms and your relationship with baseball along the way. Patrick Wisdom of the Cubs will join us next. So much to get to on Hit and Run. We're here till noon on 670 The Score.
Here comes the 2-2 now. On the way.
Line drive, base hit to center field. Coming in to score, Michael Busch. Patrick Wisdom delivers. Nice piece of hitting by Wisdom.
But you get a love, he shortens up the swing, and as you said, just trying to put the ball in play and just dumps one right back through the middle for a base knock. Cubs catch a break and take advantage as Wisdom with another big swing of the bat.
And the Cubs now lead 6-4.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
That hit, that moment from last Saturday at Wrigley Field, and the man who hit that ball and gave the Cubs an insurance run then and now is, of course, with the team in Pittsburgh, is getting ready to finish out with the Pirates, is Patrick Wisdom, and he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Good morning, Patrick. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good, man. Yeah, just me solo. You just got me, Spiegel. Parkins is sleeping in as he does on a Sunday, so I'm just hanging. Doing the baseball show. You still enjoy hearing the Whitney Houston, or does it feel hackneyed? We had to play it for you. It makes us laugh.
It's nice to. It's always nice to hear, and always nice to hear people singing it too when it cuts out.
Yeah, there you go. So played that at bat from last Saturday. Loved that at bat. Thought it was the greatest moment of that particular game. Shortening up, it is the way it was described. Is that what happens in your head when it's time to try and do that? Like, how difficult is that to do, to kind of adjust and just try to make contact like you did to get that insurance run a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, Hitting is hard in itself, and in those moments, it's just, you know, it's a matter of just slowing yourself down, slowing your swing intensity down. You know, it's not like you're not swinging hard, but you're tailoring that, you know, that effort level down a little bit, and just making sure you put off a good smooth swing. And it's still hard, right? But at the same time, we're capable of doing it, and it's just a matter of committing to that and doing it.
But when jamokes like us talk about it, like, it seems so easy. We're like, why don't they shorten up and do that? Like, we watch Bellinger with this crazy two-strike approach, and it's like, I wonder what
What does he do that? What does he do that makes it as possible as it is for him? I don't know what makes him so special at it. Do you?
I wish I could have a cup of that too. What he does is amazing, especially with two strikes. He's so good about just putting the bat on the ball and finding holes. It's amazing. It's fun to watch, and I'm sure it's frustrating for the other pitchers. Like, what the heck? You know, how do you get a knock off that swing? But he's really good at it. He did it a ton last year. He's one of the best at it, and he's continuing that into this year.
Is that even shareable from one player to another teammate? Is it stuff that you can learn from each other, or is it so individualized that it's hard to pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely pick each other's brains, and we're trying to see, what they do and what their cues are, their feels. But sometimes, that won't necessarily work for us, but something in that ballpark or something similar could. So, I mean, we're constantly talking, constantly having some ball talk. So it's nice to have the guys that we do on this team to learn from.
Happy Mother's Day to your wife, Patrick, the mother, the mother of your girls. Where are they? On the road trip in Pittsburgh or not for this particular weekend?
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my wife and to my mom.
Nice.
Yeah, but Caroline and the kids are they're back home in Chicago while we're on this road trip. So they're enjoying Chicago.
Did your mom play a big role in enabling your baseball life early on?
Oh yeah, for sure. Her and my dad, but driving me everywhere to practice, the games, the different states and cities for travel ball tournaments on the weekends. And yeah, done a lot, let me go to college and all that stuff to, get where I am today. So yeah. It's fun to have them come out to different cities and travel with us and see them in the stands, in a big league ballpark. It's always really cool and special.
What did you think watching Paul Skenes yesterday? What did that stuff look like from your vantage point?
He's electric. I think, all that hype around him and stuff was pretty true. The electric fastball, the secondary stuff, the composure he has on the mound. We strung a couple good innings off him too, and, got a couple walks and some knocks and put some pressure on him. So, that was good. And, but in terms of, his stuff, I didn't face him, but watching from the dugout, it looked pretty good.
Yeah. Nico got him.
There's a reason why he was number one pick, right?
Yeah. Right. You're right. I love that Nico got him and took him deep. I mean, he can hold that over him for his entire career. Hold that over you guys. Oh yeah. I took that guy deep. No big deal.
Yeah. Yeah. First homer in the big leagues, for Skenes to give up, and Nico Horner. That's pretty special that'll never be erased.
it's pretty crazy. Skenes has like this thing where he can throw the slider. He can throw like two or three different kinds of slider just with moving his finger placement and stuff like that. I don't think that's fair, Patrick. I don't think pitchers should be allowed to throw that many varieties of pitches. Can you help me with that? Can you help me change that?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough when you're up there trying to cover every pitch, but that's why we just lock in on one pitch and try to hit that one.
Is that what you do? Is that just the best thing to do? Is just to choose which one you think you can get and lock in on it and go for it?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think if you talk to the majority of hitters, they're going to say that. But sometimes, you just have to pick a certain pitch or a certain area in the zone, and you're looking for pitches in that zone, whether it's, fastball or off speed. If you're trying to hit everything, it becomes really, really hard.
Yeah. Talking to Patrick Wisdom here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score, the off-season video of you doing the driveline baseball training program from December, that thing got shared. Somehow it ended up on my algorithm like six times or seven times. I was like, did it find its way to everyone in your life? Did it find a way to everyone in your family, Patrick?
It sure did. Yeah. Yeah. That thing got passed around like a hot potato for sure.
And what were the reactions? Yeah. What were the reactions like from everybody?
Yeah, like, hey, nice swing, looking good, and then some, you know, hey, you can become an underwear model now, or
seriously,
is that the secret to hitting, is hitting your underwear, and, you know.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, how do you put this? It's almost, it's like not safe for work, you know what I mean? Like, it, I felt like you deserved more clothes at that point.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of awkward. You stand there and you're getting stickered up and people with cameras and, you know, you're taking swings. And it's just a lot of people watching you while you're just working out in your underwear.
Yeah, it just doesn't seem right. Are you one of those guys who wears a cup, by the way, or does not wear a cup? Like when playing defense, if you're at third base, are you wearing a cup or not?
Oh, I wear a cup if I DH. I'm wearing a cup if I'm putting baseball pants on and coming out on the field. If I have an off day, I'm still wearing a cup. Yeah, I've done it since I was a little kid.
Good.
Always worn a cup. Just, yeah. And then I had, you know, some friends that have some unfortunate events and get hit when they're not wearing a cup. And so it's just a good reminder. I'm like, hey, I'm wearing my cup no matter what.
Good for you. Good for you. And, you know, there's too many people that don't. I don't understand. Like, they really think it affects their swing or affects their body and their flexibility or something?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, this is the important stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Patrick, enjoy your day, man. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And, you know, I was hoping that at bat from last Saturday, I was like, that's going to mean more at bats for Patrick Wisdom. It would for me if I was managing anyway. So,
yeah.
hope you get some.
Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, Patrick.
Yep.
You got it. That's Patrick Wisdom of the Chicago Cubs. We had a caller who wanted to know about Patrick's hair. I mean, what do you? I'm already talking to him about his BP and his underwear. I don't think I can go to hair as well. Otherwise, I end up with a restraining order, and nobody wants.
I think
that.
You made the right choice.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you did.
I think so. Thanks for your concern.
Great guy, though. Great guy.
Yeah,
right?
Man, he's a delightful guy. He's a delightful guy. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. All right, we're going to talk to Tom Hamilton from the Cleveland Guardians in a little bit less than an hour. But right now, we have phone lines open for you. Let's go. Phone lines open for you right now for the next couple of segments. Let's talk Cubs. Let's talk Sox. And you want to talk Mother's Day and your mother's relationship to your love for baseball. I want to know about that as well. Right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
No, that was, you know, I know Mackie loves to keep lists of things that he's never seen before, but that could go on that list right there. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
That's Pirates manager Derek Shelton on what he saw yesterday in that game. And he's talking about his team giving up 6 bases-loaded walks. 6! The same inning, just absolutely bananas as the Cubs came charging back from 6-1, only to then lose the game by the score of 10-9, in part on a Yasmani Grandal 3-run homer. Was talking to Steve Stone on Friday on Parkins and Spiegel, and we were talking about Paul Skenes, and Stoney dropped in who he was expecting to see catching and how that might go.
Just a remarkable arm. He's got everything. You look at his stuff and you say, well, this guy has got to be phenomenally successful. And then you always have the caveat is with every hard-throwing young pitcher, if he holds up, everything will be fine. I'd like to see Grandal catch him. I think that would be an interesting. I think that would be an interesting opening night for him. I think if I could get there, I think I would want to see that in close and personal. But you know, in any respect, I think that'll be interesting to see who's behind the plate to catch him because he's got overwhelming stuff.
Oh God, that made me laugh because Grandal is not as good as he used to be as a pitch framer, and in terms of everything else, like blocking the ball or holding on to the ball or those kind of things, he's struggled. Quite a bit, and we got used to seeing that, and it got frustrating, so I enjoyed that. But then there goes Paul Skenes pitching well and talking about throwing to Yasmani Grandal after the game.
Yeah, it was great. He knows how to attack hitters and how to read them and all that, so I trusted him, and I'm going to trust him going forward. It's fun to throw to him.
Well, I'll say this. He absolutely does know about game planning. He knows about game planning. He cares about the pitchers, cares about what they're doing, and loves that part of it. And that is true. It's just some of the physical natures, the physical parts of doing the job. Do you see on Friday night on the Ian Happ double down the right field line, Ian Happ's first extra base hit since, I believe, mid-April, Grandal fields the throw from O'Neill Cruz in plenty of time, and a couple things were interesting about that play. O'Neill Cruz is the cutoff man no matter where it is in the Pirates outfield because he's got such a gun as an arm. So that was into the right field corner, but O'Neill Cruz still runs over there, and he's the cutoff man. And then he made an absolutely perfect throw, Grandal with a great catch, and then he went to tag Nico and dropped the ball. And he could have easily, Jim Deshaies was talking about it on Marquee, he could have easily brought the bare hand over and kind of helped the catcher's mitt hang on to the ball when the violence of the tag takes place, and he just kind of chose not to. And there are a couple things like that that Grandal has done over the weekend that are still, they remind you of why it's nice to not watch him play on the regular anymore. But Skeens did enjoy throwing to him. Your phone calls are what we're going to take, and we're going to talk Mother's Day and baseball as well right here on 670 The Score. This is Elgin Clue. Good morning, Clue. How are you, sir?
Speaks, how are you?
I'm great. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers in your life, Clue.
Commitments, but we're able to do it. So here's the deal with my mom.
Yes.
I got her left-handedness from her.
Nice.
Lost her 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. On the anniversary of the same date of passing as Elvis and Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow.
August 16th. So the love of baseball. We didn't have organized ball when we grew up. It was Sandlot. So I was kind of like the Benny Rodriguez of the local group. And eventually got to play organized stuff at the late upper levels. But anyway, but I wanted to talk to you about, the piggybacking of starting pitching.
For anybody who doesn't know what piggybacking is, the Astros tried it a while ago. The Braves threatened to do it in 21. It's been a concept. It's basically like two starters back-to-back just being lined up at the same time. Can limit your bullpen options during the rest of their time on the roster unless you strategically use them on their side days when they would be throwing anyway. Something like that. But go ahead, Clue. Who are you thinking?
We saw a taste of it with Ben Brown coming in, and you know, you had a great interview with Wesneski. I thought that was great. So he may be the guy who's going to come in and back up when Smiley's available. If he were an opener and pitched, you know, once through their order,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, creative minds like guys like Council might be able to I think he could deal with it in such a way. And then when we get to the point of Cade Horton coming through, there could be more of it. The other thing I want to mention about the game yesterday with Skeens was I just saw a meme today from MLB that he's donating $100 for every strikeout to the Gary Sinise Foundation, which I think is really admirable for a young kid coming in. I'm not rooting for him. I don't have him on my fantasy team, but I missed out on getting him in the draft. But, you know, I mean, I just feel like it's a good guy to root for. You know, we hope it does well. You always want all the players almost like, you know, and all the teams to be in a somewhat par level and let the good players play. You know, it was a fun game to watch, entertaining. That's what baseball is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So just as much as the 1-0 games that the Cubs have struggled through, it's been a good season. I love the season. And, you know, I'm grateful for the chance to enjoy the game as much as you. So
thanks, Clue. Appreciate the call, as always. Good stuff. Didn't realize that Skeens was doing that. The Gary Sinise Foundation serves our nation by honoring our defenders, veterans, first responders, their families, and those in need. He's done a lot of good work, has Lieutenant Dan, former member of the Steppenwolf acting ensemble right over there on Halstead Street. And interesting, Skeens was an Air Force cadet. For anybody who doesn't know, Skeens went to the Air Force Academy, and he was in charge of like checking on other cadets to make sure that they were doing things right. He was either, depending on how you look at it, a narc or even more trustworthy than Air Force cadets. And I've heard my nephew does Triple A baseball. You guys have heard Jack McMullen on this show before. Does the Indianapolis Indians. That's the Pirates Triple A team. He says Paul Skeens is the most regimented athlete he has ever seen. Most regimented athlete he's ever seen come through. And Skeens is So it's not just, oh, this guy's got a great arm and he's got pure stuff. He does a lot to make himself a very good pitcher. I like the idea of piggybacking. We did see it with Assad and Ben Brown on Friday night. Joe is in Wisconsin on 670 The Score. Good morning, Joe. You're on Hit and Run. How are you?
Good morning, Spiegs. Love your show. I just like to share a little bit of the motherhood and baseball history that I have. My mom was a mother of 15.
Wow.
And an avid White Sox fan, longtime season ticket holder. 14 of the 15 kids were White Sox fans, and the outlier, of course, was a Cub fan, and no doubt the black sheep of the family. The first game I attended was the 1959 World Series game against the Dodgers. I didn't see a lot as I was in my mother's womb. She often told me that she taught me to read by sharing with me the daily goings of the White Sox in the Tribune and sometimes sports section. And when she was on in years, the topic of conversation often led to the White Sox and their successes or woes. So needless to say, baseball was a large part of her life and a large part of my life with her. And what a wonderful subject.
Thank you, Joe. Yep. Appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that stuff. I love it. My dad, who's 91 now and been a guest on this show before, loves baseball trivia, passed on a love of baseball trivia to me. And there were a few trivia questions that my mom, who's been gone since 1998, there were a few baseball trivia questions that she knew and were always her go-tos, just in case. Isn't that funny? And I still and there's one that I still think of all the time. The last National Leaguer to hit 400. Because if I asked you the last ball player to hit 400, it's Ted Williams, 1941, when he hit 406, right? Who's the last National Leaguer to hit 400? I'll give you that answer, along with the top three Mother's Day baseball memories of this person's life, anyway, in highlight form. We've got that coming for you next. More of your phone calls and your texts about your mothers and the relationship to your love of baseball. And Hit and Run this morning on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them. Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like,
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through, you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings, 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago's sports station.
And the rain is really coming down now here in Pittsburgh. The 1-2, a bouncing ball hit on the left side, backhanded slide, Cruz, no play, Cubs tie up the game. Infield RBI single, Mike Tauchman, as Bush scores, 6-6 ball game here in the fifth.
An update after this 1-0 pitch. And it's hit in the air, deep left center. Back goes Bellinger to the center field fence. That ball is gone. Andrew McCutchen, a long home run. And it is now 10-8 Pirates. Swinging a line drive toward right. Sawinski there on the warning track makes the catch, and the ball game is over. Bellinger hit it hard, a solid line drive, just didn't quite get all of it, and the fly ball hauled in on the track in straightaway right, and the Pirates even up this series with a 10-9 win over the Chicago Cubs.
And he swings at the first pitch down the right field line. It's a fair ball. DeJong, they're waving him in after Brennan misplays it in right. He will score. And it's an RBI triple for Nicky Lopez. So infield in. Benintendi swinging at the first pitch out to left. Vaughn is tagging at third. He's coming home. Here's the throw. The throw in, and the White Sox take a 3-1 lead here in the eighth. It hasn't been the best start of the season, but they're on a roll. And now it's 4 in a row for the first time this season. You know what time it is. Say it with me. Southside, stand up.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
You know what time it is. It's 9:02 on a Sunday morning. That means it's me, and it's you, and it's us. Happy Mother's Day, happy Sunday morning. What a glorious, glorious Sunday it is in the city of Chicago, and not just because the White Sox are 6-3 in their last 9 games, 9-6 in their last 15 games. Goodness! Not just because of that. It's also a glorious Sunday because the Cubs are through with Jared Jones and Paul Skenes. Now, they should have won both of those games. One on Friday night. They took that one as Cody Bellinger was remarkable, as he is wont to do every once in a while. And then yesterday, the truly bizarre and crazy Paul Skenes debut game, followed by a rain delay of up to 2 hours, with 6 bases loaded walks sandwiched around that rain delay. As the Cubs take a lead only to blow it again. They should have 2 wins in the 2 games started by the Pittsburgh Pirates. And then I could sit here and say to you that on Friday, when my partner, Danny Parkins, said, "What are the Cubs going to do?" And I'm like, "You know what? They got a lot of bullpen innings to beat up on those teams." Because this is not like back in the day when it's Wood and Pryor or whatever young 2 fireballers you'd like to put in there being on the same team and going, "Oh my God, how are they going to beat Gooden and Darling as I age myself? How are they going to do that? How are they going to beat Warren Spahn and Johnny Sane?" All right, I didn't see those guys. But you know what I mean. My God. How are they going to take care of Whitey Ford and Allie Reynolds? Okay, I can't. How about Drysdale and Koufax? I mean, anyway, this is not that kind of time. This is a time Jared Jones went deep, but Paul Skenes didn't get out of the 5th. This is modern baseball, people. Mike Clevinger didn't get out of the 5th last night for the White Sox. I'm like, what, really? This is what we're doing now? But Clevinger had given up a lot of hard-hit balls, and so it goes. And anyway, who am I to bitch about a Mike Clevinger start when the White Sox are 9-6 in their last 15? 6-3 in their last 9. I just hope that those of you White Sox fans who have been paying attention, who have fought through so many different aspects of misery, so many different realms of violation in this young White Sox season, have been there to enjoy some wins. I hope you have. Good morning, everybody. It is Hit and Run. It's me, Matt Spiegel. We'll talk to you up until about noon today. Cubs and Pirates in the finale of their 3-game set. Meanwhile, also the White Sox and the Guardians in the finale of their 4-game set. The White Sox have won 4 in a row as you guys stand up all over the South Side. And we will be joined by the great Tom Hamilton, one of my favorite broadcasters doing play-by-play these days, longtime guy for the Cleveland Guardians. If he wants to call me Max, he is allowed to call me Max. Let the record show, we know each other better than when he called me Max repeatedly. I mean, that was a great time. I don't know if you have any of those around, Sean Sears, but I'm always up to hear Tom Hamilton calling me Max. But, man, I love that dude. And then we did an episode of the PBP together and have exchanged texts, and I feel good about the chances of him calling me Matt. I really do. I feel really good about it. And we'll talk to him later on in the 10 o'clock hour because they're a good team, even though they've now been beaten 3 in a row by the White Sox. That can't feel good. So, but they've been beaten, but they've been a very, very good team. And I want to hear about Stephen Vogt, the manager, and how they seem to have not lost a step from when Terry Francona was the manager. So we'll talk to him. In a little while this hour, we will talk to Patrick Wisdom of the Chicago Cubs. Check in Pittsburgh with Patrick Wisdom. Did you guys see the offseason video from Driveline Baseball of Wisdom in like compression shorts and nothing but with like sensory nodules all over his 3/4 naked body? I mean, it's borderline not safe for work.
You should let Coom know. Bring it up to him next time.
Yeah, Coom's a big fan of when I point out the handsomeness. Yeah, but I'm not really just pointing it out for that. Just like
he looked really like a different guy, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know. So we'll talk to Patrick about that and really about a lot of other things. And along the way, we will take your phone calls, we will text, and we will include your input about Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all of the mothers in our listening audience. Happy Mother's Day in absentia to my late mother, who I think of very often, as our son is named after her. And of course, I think about her very often. Happy Mother's Day to my lovely wife, who is an incredible mother to many, including Ruben and our my bonus daughters, her daughters, just a wonderful presence. And happy Mother's Day to you and yours and to your mothers. And I do along the way would want to, as always, on the Mother's Day edition of Hit and Run, get your input, your texts and your phone calls along the way about your mothers and their importance to your relationship with baseball. I always think of the call that Barry Rosner and I took years ago on Hit and Run from a guy whose father had gone away and I think had left the family, and it was left to his mother to encourage his love of baseball, and she was the one who threw him ground balls. She was the one who took him out and played catch all the time with him. And I remember that call so distinctly and so lovingly. But as always, I look forward to hearing from you and yours about your mothers and their importance to your relationship with baseball. We will do a team of the moment later on, as we do every week. Who might the team of the moment be? So far this year, it's been the Orioles, the Guardians, the Twins. Who do you think it's going to be? Don't answer, Sean, because you know it's going to be, because you grabbed a highlight. We will look at the leaderboard as we always do every Sunday morning, and we'll look at it through the prism of the locals, some of the storylines involving the locals, and we'll look at the league as it relates to some of those things. You are later on also going to hear a treat, because I have not been able to stop thinking about my friend who passed. A couple of them, actually. It was a very tough week for the Chicago music community, and for me in particular, on a couple of different fronts of folks who passed away. One was Stuart Rosenberg, an absolutely brilliant musician and band leader and radio host. Radio Gumbo was his show on WBEZ years ago. He used to be in a band called the Otters with my brother back in the day at Shuba's. And if anybody knew of Stuart, they knew what a marvel he was. And the other is Steve Albini, the record engineer, who did not like to be called a producer and wore a jumpsuit and played great poker and loved baseball. And later on, we'll end the show with a chunk of Steve Albini talking about baseball from this show 5 years ago. He came in the studio, did an hour with me, which was great. And you'll also hear a song that he played guitar on and produced, and I sang on, and it's got a few other baseball connections. So we'll explain that and play that along with the clip of Albini talking baseball to round out the show. Along the way, your phone calls and your texts not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. Score listener line powered by BetQL. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. And we are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Scores Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. All right, here's what's going on. What's going on is this. The Cubs are still in second place, a game and a half back of the Milwaukee Brewers. A plus 17 run differential is nothing super special. They have not been playing super special. Yency Almonte becomes the 13th member of the team to hit the injured list. As a friend of mine texted, did the Cubs hire the Bulls training staff? Now, that's not fair. That is a shot. It's a cross-sport shot. But things happen. Dansby Swanson on the injured list. Yency Almonte on the injured list. But Seiya Suzuki is back. Cody Bellinger is back. And now, today, Kyle Hendricks is back. If you did not know or were not aware, the starter to be determined today for Cubs Pirates has now been determined. It is Kyle Hendricks, who will make one fewer rehab start than expected to help fill in Jameson Taillon. Everything went okay, apparently, yesterday as he threw to check out that back, but they're just going to give him a couple more days. So here comes Hendricks. So what does this mean? It means, I do believe, that Hayden Wesneski will go to the bullpen. It's possible they could remain in a six-man rotation as needed. That's something they talked about to help ensure Shota Imanaga, among others, would have all the rest they need. But more than likely, Wesneski to the bullpen. We have Wesneski from yesterday from inside the clubhouse talking about whether he would have a problem with the bullpen or not. We were able to ask Ben Brown about this specifically 1 week ago today on Hit and Run. And then Ben Brown was in your bullpen and has been utilized in the bullpen. Having Wesneski there too, well, that would give you another option. Here's Hayden from yesterday morning.
I guess the biggest question would be, which are you, starter or reliever? Do you consider yourself part of the rotation, or are you the guy that's going to help solve the bullpen issue moving forward?
Man, I don't know. I have no clue. I'm at this point now where I'm kind of just whatever they need, you know. And we have a lot of starting pitching, and the starting pitching's been really good. But we have a lot of good bullpen guys, bullpen arms. That, I mean, like Adbert's not being himself. He's fine. He's getting into a groove now, but he hasn't been himself, and it's fine. He would tell you that. He would tell you that himself. But man, I'm whatever they need. Right? We're trying to win games, and winning's a lot more fun than losing, and I want to be a part of that. So whatever really the Cubs need, and if that means I go to the bullpen, that's in the bullpen. If that means I'm starting, it's starting. It kind of is what it is. I know that Kyle's coming off the IL soon, and there's a bunch of guys that a lot of stuff's going on right now. So, yeah, whatever they need, really. I know that's a bad answer, but that's that's what I got for you.
No, that's a good answer, because your willingness and Ben Brown's willingness and – Hayden has shown an ability to go back and forth, and maybe now that he has really found himself, in my opinion, as a starter here in the big leagues, he'll be able to transition to the bullpen, because I think he should. I don't know for sure that he will. As I mentioned, could be a six-man, but boy, I'd love to see Wesneski as a bullpen option right now, because they need it. Folks,
yeah, I have a nickname. It's called Casi Loco. It means.
So I was here yesterday. I was here or last week, a week ago today, telling you I thought Keegan Thompson was done as a Cub. Done. It was brutal a week ago yesterday as part of that game that I was at, that Saturday game, all of a sudden coming back into focus. He was bad in the seventh inning of that game at Wrigley after Taillon had been great for six. Then here he is yesterday after the Cubs take a crazy lead at 8-6 after six of the bases loaded walks. And there's Keegan out there giving up a three-run bomb to Yasmani Grandal. I'm not a believer in Keegan Thompson anymore as a big league reliever to be trusted, like at all. It's just, it's unfortunate, but that's just calling it as I see it. So Wesneski and Brown added to that pen, obviously, especially now that Almonte is down, and Almonte has shown more than anyone the capability of being that setup man like Merriweather was supposed to be. I think Wesneski essential to the bullpen. What you also heard there was the beginnings of, and we'll let you hear it now, Wesneski, what he says they call Hector Neris, who I've told you, I've been wanting to call Hector Neris the shooter. So that's El Tirador for Rod Beck, because it gives me that scary save feeling. And then he goes out there and throws like high breaking pitches, a high splitter instead of the high change, the Beck threw, and still somehow gets through. Here's Wesneski on Hector Neris.
For him as a teammate, let's start with that. That dude is smiling always. He's keeping it light. He has an energy about him that it's unmatched by many, right? And I can't give him enough compliments on what a great teammate is. He's a smart pitcher, right? He doesn't throw 100, so it's not his stuff is not the blow away stuff. He's pitched, right? And we call him Heart Attack Hector because you're right. He pitches. He loves a good show. And he's given me some tips on how to attack hitters late in games, especially because, like you said, he goes out there every time we need him, and he does whatever Craig needs him to do. And it's just admirable to watch because, I mean, if someone that's pitched for so long, he can do whatever you need, and it's just incredible to watch him pitch and work. You know, it's just really cool to see somebody that's done it for so long to continue to do it at such a consistent rate because this game is so hard, and he makes it look hard, but he does it easy.
Heart Attack Hector. Absolutely love it. That's Hayden Wesneski from inside the clubhouse. As I mentioned, Patrick Wisdom in a few minutes and Tom Hamilton later on. All right, a few things. Number one, the White Sox are playing a lot better. Enjoy it. I hope you are White Sox fans. Brian Ramos is a big leaguer. I dig that kid. I like his calm at third base. And the way that he has looked, the level of comfort at third base, we've heard nothing but great things about the makeup, including last week when we talked about it with James Fegan a little bit here. An important swing yesterday as part of the offense. Eloy with an opposite field bomb. I mean, it's not like the White Sox are going to challenge in this division that has three teams that ought to be battling it out for the top of that division the rest of the way. But it ought to be enjoyed. John Brebbia with a save yesterday. Jordan Leisure with some good spots during the week. Garrett Crochet was terrific on Friday night.
First off, Max, he's the face of the franchise.
Well, not anymore, Tom. I don't even know who he's talking about. Jose Ramirez, probably. But he did call me Max like 7 times. I'm telling you, we're going to get Mats. We're going to get nothing but Mats 1 hour from now. But White Sox playing well, and it's nice. It's nice to see it. In terms of the Cubs, how about Paul Skenes yesterday? Oh my goodness, the filth that Paul Skenes brings. He got Seiya Suzuki for that first inning strikeout without throwing a fastball, just sliders, and I think there might have been one of those splinkers in there. The splinker is part splitter, part sinker. He likes to call it a splinker. Let him. I enjoy that. I enjoy a good portmanteau as much as the next guy. And it's just Skenes just absolutely filthy. And the Pirates are set up with some great young pitchers again. Reminds me of Tyone and Glasnow coming up through the ranks and Garrett Cole and all those arms. Every once in a while, they'll stockpile some arms and we'll see what they can turn that into. A couple of years of relevance, perhaps. On offense, not so much. Pirates are 23rd in OBP, 27th in OPS. That's why it's absurd that they were able to come back and win that game yesterday. But Jared Jones and Skenes in back-to-back nights, back-to-back games, is about as tough as you can go against in terms of pure stuff in all of MLB. But Skenes did not go deep, and still the Cubs should have won that thing. I don't know how the hell they didn't. Really doesn't even make much sense. It came close to tying it again, in fact, in the ninth inning. But goodness, Skenes was a treat to watch, that's for sure. And my favorite fun fact of yesterday is that the leadoff hitter for the Pirates, I believe he led off. Did he lead off yesterday, Andrew McCutchen?
He did, yep.
He also led off against Steven Strasburg in Strasburg's debut. Years and years ago,
whoa.
Strasburg against the Pirates, and it was McCutchen leading off then. Yesterday, it was McCutchen leading off for the Pirates against Skenes. as that room is tied together by the Andrew McCutchen area rug. Your calls, your texts at 312-644-6767. I'm going to want to hear about your moms and your relationship with baseball along the way. Patrick Wisdom of the Cubs will join us next. So much to get to on Hit and Run. We're here till noon on 670 The Score.
Here comes the 2-2 now. On the way. Line drive, base hit to center field. Coming in to score, Michael Busch. Patrick Wisdom delivers. Nice piece of hitting by Wisdom.
But you get a love, he shortens up the swing, and as you said, just trying to put the ball in play and just dumps one right back through the middle for a base knock. Cubs catch a break and take advantage as Wisdom with another big swing of the bat.
And the Cubs now lead 6-4.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
That hit, that moment from last Saturday at Wrigley Field, and the man who hit that ball and gave the Cubs an insurance run then and now is, of course, with the team in Pittsburgh, is getting ready to finish out with the Pirates, is Patrick Wisdom, and he joins us on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa Sports app today. Good morning, Patrick. How are you, sir?
Good morning. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm good, man. Yeah, just me solo. You just got me, Spiegel. Parkins is sleeping in, as he does on a Sunday, so I'm just hanging. Doing the baseball show. You still enjoy hearing the Whitney Houston, or does it feel hackneyed? We had to play it for you. It makes us laugh.
It's nice to. It's always nice to hear, and always nice to hear people singing it too when it cuts out.
Yeah, there you go. So played that at bat from last Saturday. Loved that at bat. Thought it was the greatest moment of that particular game. Shortening up, it is the way it was described. Is that what happens in your head when it's time to try and do that? Like, how difficult is that to do, to kind of adjust and just try to make contact like you did to get that insurance run a week ago?
Yeah, I mean, hitting is hard in itself, and in those moments, though, it's just, you know, it's a matter of just slowing yourself down, slowing your swing intensity down. You know, it's not like you're not swinging hard, but you're tailoring that, you know, that effort level down a little bit and just making sure you put off a good smooth swing. And it's still hard, right? But at the same time, we're capable of doing it, and it's just a matter of committing to that and doing it.
But then when jamokes like us talk about it, like, it seems so easy. We're like, why don't they shorten up and do that? Like, we watch Bellinger with this crazy two-strike approach, and it's like I wonder what does he do that makes it as possible as it is for him. I don't know what makes him so special at it. Do you?
I wish I could have a cup of that too. What he does is amazing, especially with two strikes. He's so good about just putting the bat on the ball and finding holes. It's amazing. It's fun to watch, and I'm sure it's frustrating for the other pitchers. Like, what the heck, you know? How do you get a knock off that swing? But he's really good at it. He did it a ton last year. He's one of the best at it, and he's continuing that into this year.
Is that even shareable from one player to another teammate? Is it stuff that you can learn from each other, or is it so individualized that it's hard to pick it up?
Yeah, I mean, we definitely pick each other's brains, and we're trying to see, you know, what they do and what their cues are, their feels. But sometimes, you know, that won't necessarily work for us, but something in that ballpark or something similar could. So, I mean, we're constantly talking, constantly having some ball talk. So it's nice to have the guys that we do on this team to learn from.
Happy Mother's Day to your wife, Patrick, the mother of your girls. Where are they? On the road trip in Pittsburgh or not for this particular weekend?
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to my wife and to my mom.
Nice.
Yeah, but Caroline and the kids are they're back home in Chicago while we're on this road trip, so they're enjoying Chicago.
Did your mom play a big role in enabling your baseball life early on?
Oh yeah, for sure. Her and my dad, but just, you know, driving me everywhere to, you know, to practice, the games, the, you know, different states and cities for travel ball tournaments on the weekends. And yeah, done a lot, you know, led me to go to college and all that stuff to, you know, get where I am today. So yeah. It's fun to have them come out to different cities and travel with us and see them in the stands, you know, in a big league ballpark. It's always really cool and special.
What did you think watching Paul Skenes yesterday? What did that stuff look like from your vantage point?
He's electric. I think, you know, all that hype around him and stuff was pretty true. You know, the electric fastball, the secondary stuff, the composure he has on the mound. You know, we strung a couple good innings off him too, and, you know, got a couple walks and some knocks and put some pressure on him. So, that was good. And, but in terms of, his stuff, like, you know, I didn't face him, but watching from the dugout, it looked pretty good.
Yeah. Nico got him.
There's a reason why he was number one pick, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. I love that Nico got him and took him deep. I mean, he can hold that over him for his entire career. Hold that over you guys. Oh, yeah, I took that guy deep. No big deal.
Yeah, yeah, first homer in the big leagues for Skenes to give up. And Nico Horner, that's pretty special, that, you know.
Yeah.
That'll never be erased.
it's pretty crazy. Skenes has, like, this thing where he can throw the slider. He can throw, like, two or three different kinds of slider just with, like, you know, moving his finger placement and stuff like that. I don't think that's fair, Patrick. I don't think pitchers should be allowed to throw that many varieties of pitches. Can you help me with that? Can you help me change that?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's tough when you're up there trying to cover every pitch, but yeah. That's why we just lock in on one pitch and try to hit that one.
Is that what you do? Is that just the best thing to do? Is just to choose which one you think you can get and lock in on it and go for it?
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think if you talk to the majority of hitters, they're going to say that. But sometimes, you know, you just have to pick a certain pitch or a certain area in the zone, and you're looking for pitches in that zone, whether it's, you know, fastball or off speed. If you're trying to hit everything, it becomes really, really hard.
Yeah. Talking to Patrick Wisdom here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score, the off-season video of you doing the driveline baseball training program – from December, that thing got shared. Somehow it ended up on my algorithm like six times or seven times. I was like, did it find its way to everyone in your life? Did it find a way to everyone in your family, Patrick?
It sure did. Yeah. That thing got passed around like a hot potato for sure.
And what were the reactions? Yeah. What were the reactions like from everybody?
Oh, like, hey, nice swing, looking good. And then some, you know, hey, you can become an underwear model now? Or,
seriously.
Or is that the secret to hitting, is hitting your underwear? And, you know.
Yeah, it's almost, I mean, how do you put this? It's almost, it's like not safe for work. You know what I mean? Like, I felt like you deserved more clothes at that point.
I mean, yeah, it's kind of awkward. You stand there and you're getting stickered up and people with cameras and, you know, you're taking swings and it's just a lot of people watching you while you're just working out in your underwear.
Yeah. It doesn't seem right. Are you one of those guys who wears a cup, by the way, or does not wear a cup? Like when playing defense, if you're at third base, are you wearing a cup or not?
Oh, I wear a cup if I DH. I'm wearing a cup if I'm putting baseball pants on and coming out on the field. If I'm an off day, I'm still wearing a cup. Yeah, I've done it since I was a little kid.
Good.
Always worn a cup. Just, yeah. And then I had, you know, some friends that have some unfortunate events and get hit when they're not wearing a cup. And so it's just a good reminder. I'm like, hey, I'm wearing my cup no matter what.
Good for you. Good for you. And, you know, there's too many people that don't. I don't understand. Like, they really think it affects their swing or affects their body and their flexibility or something?
I have no idea.
Okay. Well, this is the important stuff, obviously.
Yeah.
Patrick, enjoy your day, man. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. And, you know, I was hoping that at bat from last Saturday, I was like, that's going to mean more at bats for Patrick Wisdom. It would for me if I was managing anyway. So,
yeah.
Hope you get
some. Thank you.
All right, man. Thanks, Patrick. You got it. That's Patrick Wisdom of the Chicago Cubs. We had a caller who wanted to know about Patrick's hair. I mean, what do you? I'm already talking to him about his BP and his underwear. I don't think I can go to hair as well. Otherwise, I end up with a restraining order, and nobody wants that.
You made the right choice.
Yeah, I think so.
I think you did.
I think so. Thanks for your concern.
Great guy, though. Great guy.
Yeah,
right?
Man. He's a delightful guy. He's a delightful guy. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. All right, we're going to talk to Tom Hamilton from the Cleveland Guardians in a little bit less than an hour. But right now, we have phone lines open for you. Let's go. Phone lines open for you right now for the next couple of segments. Let's talk Cubs. Let's talk Sox. And you want to talk Mother's Day and your mother's relationship to your love for baseball. I want to know about that as well. Right here on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
No, that was, I know Mackie loves to keep lists of things that he's never seen before, but that could go on that list right there. I don't think I've ever seen anything like that.
That's Pirates manager Derek Shelton on what he saw yesterday in that game. And he's talking about his team giving up 6 bases loaded walks. 6! The same inning, just absolutely bananas as the Cubs came charging back from 6-1, only to then lose the game by the score of 10-9, in part on a Yasmani Grandal 3-run homer. Was talking to Steve Stone on Friday on Parkins and Spiegel, and we were talking about Paul Skenes, and Stoney dropped in who he was expecting to see catching and how that might go.
Just a remarkable arm. He's got everything. You look at his stuff and you say, well, this guy has got to be phenomenally successful. And then you always have the caveat is with every hard-throwing young pitcher, if he holds up, everything will be fine. I'd like to see Grandal catch him. I think that would be an interesting. I think that would be an interesting opening night for him. I think if I could get there, I think I would want to see that in close and personal. But in any respect, I think that'll be interesting to see who's behind the plate to catch him because he's got overwhelming stuff.
Oh God, that made me laugh because Grandal is not as good as he used to be as a pitch framer, and in terms of everything else, like blocking the ball or holding on to the ball or those kind of things, he struggles quite a bit, and we got used to seeing that, and it got frustrating, so I enjoyed that. But then there goes Paul Skenes pitching well and talking about throwing to Yasmani Grandal after the game.
Yeah, it was great. He knows how to attack hitters and how to read him and all that, so I trusted him, and I'm going to trust him going forward. It's fun to throw to him.
Well, I'll say this. He absolutely does know about game planning. He knows about game planning. He cares about the pitchers, cares about what they're doing, and loves that part of it. And that is true. It's just some of the physical natures, the physical parts of doing the job. Do you see on Friday night on the Ian Happ double down the right field line, Ian Happ's first extra base hit since, I believe, mid-April, Grandal fields the throw from O'Neill Cruz in plenty of time. And a couple things were interesting about that play. O'Neill Cruz is the cutoff man no matter where it is in the Pirates outfield because he's got such a gun as an arm. So that was into the right field corner, but O'Neill Cruz still runs over there, and he's the cutoff man. And then he made an absolutely perfect throw, Grandal with a great catch, and then he went to tag Nico and dropped the ball. And he could have easily... Jim Deshays was talking about it on Marquee. He could have easily brought the bare hand over and kind of helped the catcher's mitt hang on to the ball when the violence of the tag takes place, and he just kind of chose not to. And there are a couple things like that that Grandal has done over the weekend that are still, they remind you of why it's nice to not watch him play on the regular anymore. But Skenes did enjoy throwing to him. Your phone calls are what we're going to take, and we're going to talk Mother's Day and baseball as well right here on 670 The Score. This is Elgin Clue. Good morning, Clue. How are you, sir?
Speaks, how are you?
I'm great. Happy Mother's Day to the mothers in your life, Clue.
Commitments, but we're able to do it. So here's the deal with my mom.
Yes.
I got her left-handedness from her.
Nice.
Lost her 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. On the anniversary of the same date of passing as Elvis and Babe Ruth.
Oh, wow.
August 16th. So the love of baseball, we didn't have organized ball when we grew up. It was Sandlot. So I was kind of like the Benny Rodriguez of the local group, and eventually got to play organized stuff at the late upper levels. But anyway, but I wanted to talk to you about, you know, maybe the piggybacking of starting pitching.
For anybody who doesn't know what piggybacking is, the Astros tried it a while ago. The Braves threatened to do it in 21. It's been a concept. It's basically like two starters back-to-back just being lined up at the same time can limit your bullpen options during the rest of their time on the roster unless you strategically use them on their side days when they would be throwing anyway, something like that. But go ahead, Clue. Who are you thinking?
We saw a taste of it with Ben Brown coming in, and, you know, you had a great interview with Wesneski. I thought that was great. You know, so he may be the guy who's going to come in and back up. When Smiley's available, if he were an opener and pitched, you know, once through their order,
yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, creative minds like guys like Council might be able to I think he could deal with it in such a way. And then when we get to the point of Cade Horton coming through, there could be more of it. The other thing I want to mention about the game yesterday with Skeens was I just saw a meme today from MLB that he's donating $100 for every strikeout. To the Gary Sinise Foundation, which I think is really admirable for a young kid coming in. I'm not rooting for him. I don't have him on my fantasy team, but I missed out on getting him in the draft. But, you know, I mean, I just feel like it's a good guy to root for. You know, I hope he does well. You always want all the players, almost like, you know, and all the teams to be in a somewhat par level and let the good players play. And it was a fun game to watch, entertaining. That's what baseball is supposed to be.
Yeah.
So just as much as the 1-0 games that the Cubs have struggle through. It's been a good season. I love the season, and you know, I'm grateful for the chance to enjoy the game as much as you. So
thanks, Clue. Appreciate the call as always. Good stuff. Didn't realize that Skeens was doing that. The Gary Sinise Foundation serves our nation by honoring our defenders, veterans, first responders, their families, and those in need. He's done a lot of good work. Has Lieutenant Dan, former member of the Steppenwolf acting ensemble, right over there on Halstead Street. And interesting, Skeens was an Air Force cadet. For anybody who doesn't know, Skeens went to the Air Force Academy, and he was in charge of, like, checking on other cadets to make sure that they were doing things right. He was either, depending on how you look at it, a narc, or even more trustworthy than Air Force cadets. And I've heard my nephew does Triple-A baseball. You guys have heard Jack McMullen on this show before. Does the Indianapolis Indians. That's the Pirates Triple-A team. He says Paul Skeens is the most regimented athlete he has ever seen. Most regimented athlete he's ever seen come through. And Skeens is, it's not just, oh, this guy's got a great arm and he's got pure stuff. He does a lot to make himself a very good pitcher. I like the idea of piggybacking. We did see it with Assad and Ben Brown on Friday night. Joe is in Wisconsin on 670 The Score. Good morning, Joe. You're on Hit and Run. How are you?
Good morning, Spiegs. Love your show. I'd just like to share a little bit of the motherhood and baseball history that I have. My mom was a mother of 15.
Wow.
And an avid White Sox fan, longtime season ticket holder. 14 of the 15 kids were White Sox fans. And the outlier, of course, was a Cub fan. And no doubt the black sheep of the family. The first game I attended was the 1959 World Series game against the Dodgers. I didn't see a lot as I was in my mother's womb. she often told me that she taught me to read by sharing with me the daily goings of the White Sox in the Tribune and sometimes sports section. And when she was on in years, the topic of conversation often led to the White Sox and their successes or woes. So needless to say, baseball was a large part of her life and a large part of my life with her. And what a wonderful subject.
Thank you, Joe. Appreciate that. Thanks for sharing that stuff. I love it. My dad, who's 91, now and been a guest on this show before, loves baseball trivia, passed on a love of baseball trivia to me. And there were a few trivia questions that my mom, who's been gone since 1998, there were a few baseball trivia questions that she knew and were always her go-tos, just in case. Isn't that funny? and I still and there's one that I still think of all the time. The last National Leaguer to hit 400. Because if I asked you the last ball player to hit 400, it's Ted Williams, 1941, when he hit 406, right? Who's the last National Leaguer to hit 400? I'll give you that answer, along with the top three Mother's Day baseball memories of this person's life, anyway, in highlight form. We've got that coming for you next. More your phone calls and your texts about your mothers and the relationship to your love of baseball. And Hit and Run this morning on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.